So, Psalm chapter 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 1. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also, on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign for ever and ever. And he said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, you must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the word of this book. Worship God. And he said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me, to repay everyone for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers, the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angels to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, as we consider your word to us, we pray that you would speak light into our darkness, speak hope into our fear, speak courage where we are timid. Lord, give us a holy boldness as we begin this year. that it might be a year where we set our hearts and our lives upon serving you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the title of the sermon is How Long, O Lord? How Long, O Lord? You know, at the beginning of each year, I usually try and bring a message that I believe that the Lord wants us to recall through the year. Rather than just a message, of course, I guess all the truths of the Bible are eternal and for us to apply every day, but particularly each week we bring to our attention something that we want to learn. But specifically at the beginning of the year, I try and bring a message that would be something that we could recall through the year and be helpful to us. And of course, we had the joy of celebrating the baptism last week, and so I've decided to do it this week, to bring a message to you, which I'd like to be, well, if it was a meal, let's just say it wouldn't be a bag of chips or a pasty or a sausage roll that you're eating while you're at the shops. I want this sermon to be a meal that's a special occasion, a meal to savour, a meal that lingers, the sort of meal that you would have where photographs are taken of everyone enjoying the meal together, and the memory of it lingers. Yes, hopefully it will apply to the week ahead, but yes, also right through 2021 and beyond. And so my message this week is a little bit different for that reason, but it's also a bit different because I've decided to sort of look at two separate passages, or two verses really, one from a couple of verses from Psalm 13, and then a verse from the end of Revelation chapter 22. And so these are the three points I'm going to bring to you. I'm going to bring a petition for 2021. In other words, a question to ask God in 2021. A promise in 2021. And a prayer for 2021. And the first point is the title of the sermon. How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? And it's from Psalm chapter 13 and verse 1. It's how the psalmist David starts his psalm of lament. He says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me?" And Psalm 13 is a lament. It's one of many laments in the Bible, many laments in the Psalms and elsewhere in the Bible. In fact, there's a whole book, isn't there, called Lamentations. Another famous one would be Psalm 137, "By the Rivers of Babylon." Yeah, you know the song. How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? The people have been exiled. They've been told to sing one of their songs. And they say, well, how can we sing a song of the Lord in a strange land? Well, I wonder if you know what lament means. So you might have an idea of what you think it means, and certainly I found it helpful. One guy's definition. Here's a definition of lament. It's prayer in pain that leads to trust in God. Just let that soak in for a minute. It's prayer in pain that leads to trust in God. So a lament is a biblical way of responding to troubles and difficulties. Others might just want to grumble. Others might just want to cry. And there's nothing wrong with crying. But if that's all we do, that's definitely not lament. Lament is praying in pain, which leads to trust in God. It's a specifically Christian thing to do. And it helps us to avoid two tendencies. There's a tendency that some have, or you might have it sometimes in others in your life, but some have when we're faced with trouble, which is to pretend that everything is okay. We sort of bury our heads in the sand. We carry on as if everything's fine. We talk as if everything's fine. We just choose to push away the thoughts of the pain and the trouble that are going on. And there's another error, the sort of opposite error, the other tendency, which is to live constantly as if there is absolutely no hope and we're in despair, complete dismay. That the pain and trouble that we see around us just brings us completely down and it's just darkness and we don't see any light. What David is doing in Psalm 13 is praying in pain, and it leads him to trust in God. It's one of the clearest examples of lament doing that. If you look down it, you'll see that he starts, one person says it like this. He starts by turning to God. He then brings his complaint. He then asks God for stuff in verses 3 and 4. And then we find him trusting God in 5 and 6. What he's doing is he's turning to God in the midst of difficulty to seek God and to seek help from him. And I just want to pause there. I wonder, in all your fear, in all your frustration about 2020, I wonder if you've really turned to seek God. Whether you've really cried out to him. Have you just been trying to go on living life pretending that everything's fine? Have you let the things completely bury you in despair? Or have you cried out to God, like a lament, your prayer in pain, has it been to him? You know, we've seen in 2020, haven't we, the terrible COVID pandemic, not just in this country, but across the world. We've seen a similar almost global thing, that the whole racial tension and the Black Lives Matters and all the protests and some of the violence that went with that. And has your heart not been saying, how long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? And I know for some of you, it's not just been these global things, but it's been personal things. That 2020 has also brought you personal challenge. Have you not in that cried out to God and said, how long, O Lord? And when we look to 2021, and okay, we're only 10 days in, but we haven't got off to a very good start, have we? We're into another lockdown, and then we've been watching all the news of what's going on in America. And you can add to that, if we just want to add on some of the troubles and strains in our world, some of the things that stick out to me are things like abortion. About a quarter of pregnancies end in abortion in this country. If that doesn't make your heart sink, I don't know what will. Think about all that's been going on in this last year, about pretending, about genders being changeable and this fluidity that people claim that there is with gender, the things that God has defined in his creation that people are messing about with, and the sexuality as well. You know, it's really easy to grumble about the situation, isn't it? It's really easy to moan. Easy sometimes to point the finger at certain people or certain policies, to point our finger at politicians, to point our finger at other people's behaviour. But surely as Christians, the greatest need, the greatest desire for us is to cry out to God in these times. To stop perhaps doing quite so much metaphorical shaking our fists at people and getting out on our knees before a holy God and crying out to him, how long, O Lord? You know, we believe he's in control, don't we? So let's direct our thoughts and our questions to him. Our hopes are not in governments or policies or politicians ultimately, are they? Our hope is in him. And so in Psalm 13, it's interesting, David obviously has these enemies attacking him. It's a very practical concern that he's got. He's worried that he's going to be killed. But his cry is to the Lord. It's, how long, O Lord? His response is to cry out to God. Four times in those first two verses, he says, how long? So in your fear and in your confusion and in your struggles, Have you cried out to God? Is that how you started 2021? Are you crying out to God about this virus? Are you crying out to God about the racial turmoil in the world? Are you crying out to God about what's going on in America? Are you crying out to God about abortion, about gender confusion, about sexuality, about all sorts of sin that's everywhere? But let's be honest, are you crying out to God also about the sin that we find in our own hearts? We don't have to actually look out there at all, do we, to have something to say to the Lord, oh, how long, when we realise what our own hearts are like? I wonder, do you want to say, does it connect with your heart this morning to be saying, how long, O Lord? And we're not talking about the bored voice of a child in the back of the car. You know, are we there yet? Are we there yet? I'm talking about the impassioned cry from a weary heart. How long must this go on, Lord? When will things change? How long must we hear of people dying? How long do we need to see videos of doctors and nurses exhausted? How long must we sit in church and out in the street and out in the shops? And how long must we see people walking down the street wearing masks, keeping our distance, staying in the house? How long will we keep coming to church and not being able to sing our praises to our God? How long will it be until we can eat together as God's people? How long will it be until we can visit one another properly? To play together? To study together? To share fellowship together? And even deeper than these things, beyond the current calamity and the current problems and curses, to cry out to God about the big picture, and say, Lord, when will this broken world be made new? When will this curse that we see in the world all around us, everything doesn't seem to be quite what it should be. When is it going to change? When are you going to break this curse? When, Lord, will we see your kingdom come in its glory? When, Lord, will we see your victory? When will we see you completely destroy the enemy? When will we see death and sin defeated? How long, O Lord? You know, the lament of the Christian in the biggest picture is that we know that Jesus has come and he's won a victory. And yet we know one day it will be seen in all its glory. His kingdom will come in all its fullness and he will defeat darkness and death and sin. And we're living in the in-between. We know what he's done. He said his work is finished. And we're looking ahead to the day when everything's going to be put right. When all the tears will be wiped from our eye and death will be no more. We'll see him face to face. We'll be like him. We'll see him as he is and we will be like him, the Bible says. And yet we're in this bit in between. Isn't that a lament? To be saying, Lord, how long must we wait? And the Bible encourages us to think like this. To have our hearts set on that day when things will be put right. How long, O Lord? When will you sort this world out once and for all? And so I'm just using this psalm, Psalm 13, and the cry of David's heart to say there's a bigger how long in our hearts too. Yes, there's the how long for now, for the problems that we're facing, but there's a how long until, Lord, you return and show your power. And then I want to spend the rest of the time in Revelation 22. Verse 20, really. So the first thing was a petition for 2021. How long, O Lord? And secondly, I want to just talk to you about a promise for 2021. And these are the words of Jesus. He says, surely I am coming soon. Look at verse 20 of Revelation 22. We got to the very last two verses of the Bible. The last words of Jesus ever recorded. Of course, he'd already been died and rose again and ascended. This is John's revelation, the Apostle John having all these things revealed to him. And the one who testifies to these things, as it says in verse 20, is Jesus. Because he says, surely I am coming soon. That's what he says. Surely I am coming soon. I said when I talked about lament, that lament was a prayer in pain that leads to trust in God. We've talked really so far, haven't we, about prayer in pain. But it leads us to trust in God. Our hope, our longing for the future is squarely placed. Our trust in all of these things is trust on the reliable shoulders of Jesus. And he has made repeated promises that one day he will be coming to sort everything out. And as we cry out, O Lord, how long? He says, surely I am coming soon. These are the words that are left ringing in our ears. You know, having some decorating done next door and some acoustic work. So the painting's quite a way on, and I guess quite soon they'll be getting on to the acoustic work. And I don't know if you've ever tried this, but if you go into the hall at the moment and clap your hands, it doesn't do that. For about 5 seconds, you hear this echo of the noise that you make. There's like a ringing. These are the words that come echoing down the centuries. About 2,000 years, these words have been ringing in our ears. Surely I am coming soon. Those words will keep ringing so long as the Lord is showing patience, compassion, and mercy, waiting for the full number of those who will be saved to come in. And then one day the ringing will stop and he will come. And he describes that as soon. He says, surely I am coming soon. I wonder if you can hear those words ringing, not in your ears, but in your heart today. The Lord himself saying, surely I am coming soon. In the midst of all the pain today, in the midst of all the confusion, in the midst of the world going its own way, in the midst of the sin in your own heart and the battle that you face there, you hear the words echoing in your heart that bring joy to your heart, listening to the Lord saying, behold, I'm coming soon. This is a greater comfort than anything for a believer during these crazy years. It's a much greater hope than the vaccine. I don't want to say anything that's sort of unjustified or whatever, but be careful about putting all your weight into a vaccine. Who knows what new strain is going to come around the corner next week, next month, next year? Who knows? There's a hope that's much more certain and far more wonderful. A hope that's permanent, eternal and complete. Surely he, Jesus, is coming soon. And lastly, a prayer for 2021. Did you notice already what John says in reply? As Jesus says to him, surely I am coming soon, his reply is, amen, come, Lord Jesus. Truly, come, Lord Jesus. I believe it, come, Lord Jesus. So, yeah, you might be tempted during this time to bury your head in the sand. Pretend that all's well. You might be tempted towards feeling fear and despair, hopelessness. Well, here's something really really practical for you to do. Something really simple for you to do. Make it an everyday prayer for 2021 to say, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. It's a prayer, isn't it? You're saying, Lord, I don't know how long this is going to go on for, but please come. Come, Lord Jesus. You know, you can imagine John as he's listening to this. He's old of age as he's writing this the book of what we now call the book of Revelation. This revelation of the truth to him about times to come. He's delighted with the thought of the Lord's return, so that his response is, come, Lord Jesus. He's yearning for the final defeat of sin. He's longing for the final defeat of sickness. There will be no more pandemics in heaven. When the kingdom of God comes in its fullness, sickness will be done with. Death will be defeated. The longing in John's heart to see Satan defeated. The longing in John's heart to see creation released from its curse. Flourishing, renewed as it should be. To know something now of a communion with God is just a little shadow of what God has promised when we shall see him face to face. Who knows the glories of what it will be to know God and be in communion with him perfectly in the future? Who knows the glories of what it will be to be brothers and sisters in Christ in that new environment? The glorious communion of the saints for all eternity. And so, as John heard Jesus promise to come soon, that was the response from his heart. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. It seems to have been a greeting used before. If you look at the end of Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 22, as Paul signs off, as he writes to the Christians at Corinth, in verse 22 of chapter 16, if anyone has no love for the Lord, let him be accursed. Our Lord, come, is the cry of Paul. It's an Aramaic expression, which is sometimes translated Maranatha. Maranatha, or it's transliterated Maranatha. It's the same thing. It's the same desire. It expresses the same longing. Our Lord, come. And so the New Testament, surely if this is what should be our daily experience, we should expect to find it being encouraged in the New Testament. And we find it over and over again in the New Testament. It reminds us to encourage one another with these thoughts about the Lord's coming. In this world, Jesus says, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. John 16 33. I was flicking through earlier 1 Thessalonians. It's a book that's written very early on in the church history. The centre of their thinking was the Lord's coming. At the end of chapter 3. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all the saints. Chapter 4, verse 18. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Well, what's he been talking about? Look, verse 17, then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with our Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. And it says the same thing again, speaking about salvation, and chapter 5, verse 9, for God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. And it's not just there. Repeatedly through the New Testament, our attention, that the believers are being encouraged to look ahead to the return of the Lord Jesus as our great and deep encouragement. So let's ask the Lord in 2021 to burn this into our hearts. Now, I'm not making a prophecy that the Lord's going to return in 2021. Who knows? He may. But I'm sure, certain, absolutely confident that he wants us to have this in our hearts and in our minds. That we would be crying out to him through 2021 to say, come, Lord Jesus. Looking at the world and saying, oh Lord, how long? To be remembering the promise, surely I am coming soon, says Jesus to us today. And our response to him saying, amen, come, Lord Jesus. Make that our prayer in 2021. Our hope is not in governments. It's not in vaccines. It's not in military force. It's not in scientists. It's not in anything else in this world. Our hope is in Jesus. And so our calling in 2021 is to lift our heads above all of this and to see the one who is coming. And as the day draws near, to serve him and live for him. Surely our lament, our pain and prayers in pain lead us to trust in God. Let's pray and ask the Lord that he might make this part of our being through 2021.